The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, boy, that was good. Thank you so much. And so, well, I tell you, put that on the schedule for the conference. That's going to mess you up, but put it right there for me. And I appreciate that. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Look at it. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Let's talk about this tonight on using your gifts wisely. Using your gifts wisely. I want to give you some statements tonight I think can help us as we have gifts that God has given us. And these gifts, of course, are gifts that has been placed in your presence for you to be a good steward over. And by the way, these gifts will come into play as things come into play in your life. I want to make some statements, however, to begin with, to help us to understand exactly how that is, and that is this. You know, if you don't earn your way into somebody else's life, stay with the thought because this will set the premise for the message. If you don't earn your way into somebody's life relationship-wise, then there's going to be a day that the first sign of stress that comes, they'll want to break a relationship. You have to earn your way in relationship-wise. But every time, now stay with me, the first sight of stress that comes, it will break that relationship. Not only that, if you don't earn your way into somebody's life, what would take place? The first time that there's stress in the life will cause somebody to blow up. Somebody to blow up. If you don't earn your relationship into somebody else's life, what happens is the first time they disagree with something, they'll become a gossiper and a critic. If you don't earn the relationship into somebody else's life, and by the way, relationships have to be not only earned, but have to be given. That's why the Bible says a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before, it says, great men. And by the way, that is true in marriages. That is true in the parent-child relationship. That is true in the friend-friend relationship. That is true in the co-worker relationship. That is true in the church member relationship. The Bible talks about gifts that are given, and I want us to examine those gifts that are given tonight. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse 11. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 11. The Bible says, listen to it now, he that loveth pureness of heart, he that loveth pureness of heart, the Bible says, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. So there is the gift of the tongue. Now, it talks about his lips, the king shall be his friend. So when there's a pureness of the heart and it is shown in grace, then even the king will become that person's friend. So statement number one, there is the gifts of the tongue. Now, how is it that we can use the tongue? Well, here's what it says, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, it says, to the use of edifying, that ye may minister grace unto the hearers. All right? So there's the words that come out of the mouth. And God says this, says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but it says, that which is good to the use of edifying. That's talking about good, encouraging words. All right, so what should come out of your mouth or proceed past your tongue, which is a gift? God says, encouraging words. Not only that, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26, the Bible says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. So out of the mouth comes that which is encouragement, and out of the mouth comes that which is kindness. Kindness. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. All right, now what is that? That is comfort. Comfort. All right, so what comes out of the mouth? What comes out of the mouth is encouraging words. What comes out of the mouth is kind words. What comes out of the mouth is comforting words. Well, then it says over in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, the Bible says, render therefore, it says, to all their dues, tribute, it says, to whom tribute is due, custom, to whom custom, fear, to whom fear, honor, to whom honor. So that's words of praise. All right, so what do? I'm supposed to use my tongue. Now, my tongue is a gift. God has given me a gift. God has given you a gift. Now, you can use that gift to encourage. You can use that gift, the tongue, to give kindness. You can use that gift, the tongue, to be able to give comfort. You can use that gift, the tongue, to be able to give praise. And by the way, a secret praise is not as good as a public praise. So if you're going to praise somebody, if you're going to praise your son, it would be nice to praise your son in the presence of his peers. It would be nice to praise your daughter in the presence of her peers. If you're going to praise somebody, it would be good to be able to give them a public praise than a private praise. It's one thing to tell your son, I'm proud of you, as you're riding in a car someplace. It's another thing to tell your son that you're proud of him in front of his Sunday school teacher, in front of his grandmother, in front of his mom, or in front of his dad, if you're not the mom and dad. You know, it's one thing to be, and now by the way, God has given you that which is a gift. Now, what is that gift? That gift is your tongue. We can use the tongue for that which is good, or we can use the tongue for that which is bad. My wife is teaching in the college, and she's teaching our girls that's in the college, and she has a class, and she is bringing some lessons that will help them to be able to see how to properly handle things that comes their way when it comes their way in the ministry. Now, there's a way to and there's a way not to. There's a way to say things and there's a way not to say things. Your wife spends all day and she's cooking supper and she's hot and she has done it all for the family. Well, you could come in and say, well, I'll tell you what, that's not the best meal you ever cooked. Or you could say, I'll tell you what, thank you for putting the time into that meal. That means a lot to me. Now, you could say that whether the food is good or not. Hello? Thank you for putting the time into that meal. That means a lot to me. You don't have to say, well, I'll tell you what, thank you for putting the time into it, but I remember last time you cooked it, it was better than this. You don't have to say things that are not exactly wise to say. You know, most of the time we get ourselves in relationship problems because we talk too much. Well, they need to know my opinion about this. Not necessarily. Well, and you know how we are. You know, come on, here's how we are. You know, we're close to God. So we spread gossip differently. Here's the way somebody that pretends to be close to God spreads gossip. Did you hear about so-and-so? We need to pray for them. That's how the pretend good Christian spreads gossip. I said pretend good Christian. They'll get somebody in a room, and here's what they'll do, Brother Bulkley. They'll say, I just really need to confide in you because so-and-so needs prayer. Or they'll call somebody up on the phone and say, so-and-so needs help. All right, now, wait a minute, use your tongue for edifying, building up. By the way, the Bible says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Here's one question to ask. Okay, so what are you doing to help them? What are you doing to encourage them? What are you doing to help that person get back on track? What are you doing? Now, by the way, everybody needs somebody that's a friend. Now, thank God for friends that truly want to help friends. Wait, thank God for parents that truly want to help parents. You know, some parents need the help of other parents to be able to make right decisions. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for teenagers that are spiritual, that really has an insight to be able to help other teenagers to become spiritual. When I made that announcement over about the kids moving into the center section, I had two young men that came to me and said, "Pastor, I hope that wasn't me. If I ever did anything wrong, if I ever talked any one time when you were preaching, I want you to know I apologize and it will never happen again." And these were two young men that never talked. Now, what is that? That is using your tongue in the right way. And instead of taking and criticizing your parents and criticizing your principal and criticizing your youth director and criticizing your music director and criticizing your Sunday school teacher and criticizing your college teacher and criticizing a deacon and criticizing somebody else that's trying to help you, why don't you use your tongue the right way to be able to encourage somebody, show kindness to somebody, comfort somebody, praise somebody, help somebody along the way. Now here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Death and life, both. Both. Where are they? They are in the power of the tongue. Now I'm going to help you a little bit tonight. Don't get mad at me. But you have to be careful when you hear people talking that is undermining that which is going the right direction. And they're undermining it in such a way to give themselves credibility. You know what I found out about critics? Here's what I found out about critics. They always lift themselves up so that they can put somebody else down. Now wait, I'm trying to help tonight to understand that the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, what is the fruit thereof? There's the fruit of death. There is the fruit of life. It bears out. It shows death. It shows life. Okay, when you walk into a room, stay with me now. When you walk into a room, is there energy that fills the room? Is there smiles that fills the room? Is there more of a, I want to be like God that fills the room because of your presence? Or does it zap? You ever been around people that zaps your energy out of you? Because when you're around them, it's just, there's just a, when they walk in a bubble. And as they walk in that bubble, the bubble is nothing but negative. Like there's a dark cloud that follows them everywhere they go. And everything they say is negative. You know, well, I just don't think we can. Well, I'm worried that it won't work. Well, I'm just concerned. Well, that bothers me. Well, just maybe it could be. Well, I'm not sure. Well, you know, it just, I'm agonizing over, oh, come on, God is real and God is alive and God can answer prayer. And why don't you go to the one that can change something in somebody else's life? You can't change something in somebody else's life by bellyaching about it. So what do? You go to, I've always said this. Let me show you the difference between somebody that wants to help and somebody that don't want to help. Somebody that wants to help will always go to the person that has the power to make change. If you're going to somebody else that doesn't have the power to make change, then it becomes gossip. You don't really want something changed or helped. You just want to talk about it because it's good and it's dirty. It's mean and it's cruel. It is self-gratifying because you feel that which is the need of self-justification. And so now you become defensive in your statements because, after all, you have to defend yourself because you know good and well God's not going to defend you. And so what happens is this. We begin to use our tongue to be able to be a dagger, to be a sword. Now, wouldn't it be great if we never had a problem with that in Christianity? Wouldn't it be great if you could be a good Christian tonight? That would be great within itself. But wouldn't it be great if you could be a good Christian tonight and you walk beside someone and you said, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to meet with the Holy of Holies and I'm going to pray. And you enter into your closet and you pray. By the way, that's what good Christians do. You enter into your closet and you begin to pray and you begin to ask God to work and you use your tongue to be able to solicit that which is the God of heaven, to be able to come down and to be able to make a change. That's who God is, and God can change people. You don't give up on your son too easy. Don't give up on your daughter too easy. Say, well, so-and-so is backslidden. So-and-so, my daughter, my son. Well, don't give up on them too easy. You work with them and you love them and you help them and you encourage them and you be close to them. That's the Bible way. Statement number one, the gifts of the tongue. Statement number two, the gifts of time. We're talking about different gifts tonight. Malachi chapter 4 and in verse 5, the Bible says, behold, I will send, listen to it now, the Bible says that I will send you Elijah. And the Bible says the prophet before the coming of the great day, the dreadful day of the Lord, listen to it, chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Bible says, and he shall turn the hearts of the children to their father. Now listen to what it says here, and the heart of their children to their fathers, lest I come and I smite the earth with a curse. All right, so here's what God says. God says that there is a time when those that have the ability to be able to do so are supposed to be able to turn the hearts of that which is the children to the fathers. You know, one thing I've learned for certain when I was a youth director many years ago was the fact that I had a responsibility to turn the children's hearts back to their fathers. And I often say this, what'd your mama say about it? What'd your daddy say about it? If it's something that's uncertain and gray, I would say, what's your parents think about this? Now, if the parents is going to make maybe a brain dead type of decision, I may go around and say, hey, listen, you know, heard you're thinking about this, heard you're praying about this. Could we think about it and pray about it together? But, you know, most of the times people that grow up in church, they've got a little bit of common sense about them. And most of the time, most of the questions that you have can be answered within the circle of your family. Most of the time. You know, most of the time, you don't give mom and daddy as much credit as they rightfully deserve. Most of the time. Most of the time, there's that generational gap, and that generational gap is thus so. Well, now I am an adult. I'm a young person living at home. But may I tell you tonight that if you are living at home, you owe your parents that is feeding you. You're not paying for it. You're eating their food, sleeping in their bed, using their electricity. I mean, everything that's going on inside of the house, you're not paying for. So as long as you, don't ever do this. Mom says to make, hey, you're a college student. And you're living at home and mom says your room is a disaster. As far as I know, there's not been any storms that's come through lately. But your room is a disaster. You need to clean your room. And by the way, if you're 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 27, 28, 30, 41, 51, 101, living with your 120-year-old mom and daddy, as long as you're living there, then please do whatever mom and dad says if you're living in their home. Well, I'll take out the trash when I have time. No! If mom says, son, will you take out the trash now? I don't care if you're a 32. You rise up. You say, yes, ma'am. You run over. You pick up that little bitty trash bag in that 32-year-old masculine grip, and you take it outside to the curb. Look, I'm saying, look, There's time. Give time to each other. By the way, this goes the other way. Parents ought to give time to their children. You know, playing games with your children is not sinful. You know, sitting down to play, if you would please, Lego with your children is not wrong. Well, you know, I need to walk with God. I need to spend time in the Bible with God. Well, I'm for that. I would like for you to read your Bible. But I'd also like for your children to have a daddy. I'd also like for your children to be able to grow up and say, I remember the day when we played ball together, and I remember the day when he threw me the football, and I remember the day when he hit me the volleyball or tried, and I remember the day when he shot a basketball with me, or I remember the day when we went on a family trip. Hey, don't leave your family out. You can't walk around all the time being spiritual. You don't do it anyway. You know, and so don't leave your family out. Spend some time together. Look, take your daughter on a date. Doesn't have to be expensive. Take her down to McDonald's. Share French fries. Hello. Moms, take your son, allow your sons. You ready for this? Flip. Allow your sons to take you on a date. Some of you 9-year-old little boys ought to say, Mom, I love you so much. I would like to have a date with you. Some of you 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old boys ought to save your money. And instead of trying to buy some goofy game, and you're sitting there hooked on stupid. Do something profitable with your life. Read a book. Take your parents out. Treat them to something good. No daddy ought to have to wash his own car. If you got boys, they should be washing the car. No daddy that has boys that are of age and trustworthy enough to push a mower. For some of you, that may be later in life. But no daddy ought to have to mow his own lawn. You ought to be mowing the lawn for your dad. Well, you don't understand. I'm busy. Well, he's got that topped. He's busy and old. Hey, from time to time, you as a college-age girl, yay, junior or senior high schooler, you ought to say, hey, Mom, I'll tell you what, I'll cook. Then get in the habit of it. Oh, come on. If you're a single man and in college, would you stand? Single man and in college. College age. You ready for this? Here we go. You want a woman that knows how to cook?
Yes, sir.
You want a woman knows how to cook? You want a woman knows how to cook? You want a woman that knows how to cook? You want a woman knows how to cook? You want a woman that knows how to cook? You want a woman that knows how to cook? You want a woman that knows how to cook? Do you want a woman that knows how to cook? How about you boys back here? You want a woman that knows how to cook? 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 You want a woman that knows how to cook? You better hope she does. You're getting married soon. You do want a woman that knows how to cook? You want to know? Hey, do you want one? Do you want one? Hey, you're engaged. You're going to get married soon. You know how to cook? Hey. How about you guys? You know how? You want a woman knows how to cook? Jacob, you ever hope to get married today in your life, son? You want a woman knows how to cook? How about you guys? Hey, girls, are you listening to me? Learn how to cook. Thank you. Be seated. If you're a college age young person that's a girl not yet married, would you stand, please? Are you ready? Ashley, look at me. Don't look at them. It's not time for that right now. We'll come back to you. Do you want a man that knows how to work and has character? Do you want a man, Tracy? Tracy says, I just want me a man is all I want. I don't care if he knows how to do anything, just give me a man. Do you want a man that knows how to work and have character? I mean, how many girls would you like to have your own home sometime in your life? Raise your hand. Would you like to be able to, once you get married, to be able to go out at least once a year and buy a new dress? Never mind, sit down. All right, now watch this, if you will. There's time. I think you parents are missing it. You ought to have some date nights, not just with each other, but with your kids. You ought to have some time to talk. Philosophize. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? What's your opinion of this? What's your thoughts when I talk about these things? Talk. Bible says, come, let us reason together. You can't lay down just a bunch of rules, and rules are good. But rules without relationships raises rebels. You can't have just a bunch of rules and say, yeah! Get your whip out. Oh, baby, child! You can't do that. Because as soon as they get old enough, they're going to spit in your face and they're going to leave home. There has got to be relationships. Now I'm going to help you out a little bit. Those that have parents, you let them be the power of authority in the lives of their children.
Amen.
Stick your nose someplace else, but not there. See, here's what you do. You judge everybody else's child by your child, whether they're right or wrong. And God says, "Come, some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And you're not doing something that's very wise. Well, my kid is good in this area. But what about the other 30 areas they just failed in? Now, I'm saying time. You know, it takes time to bake a cake. It takes time to be able to have a nice meal. It takes time to be able to have a manicure lawn. Now, can I tell you, it takes time to raise godly kids? I've never met a teenager. I've never met a young college kid that's always been like this. I've never met one. Here's what I have met. Brother Hiles said this many years ago, and I wrote down my Bible. He said, the Christian life is two steps forward and one step back. Two step forward. So what's the Christian life? That's the Christian life. Two steps forward, one step back. By the way, if we were to pick Lot up at any given time in his life and we wanted to choose the time, you ready for this one? How about if we chose the time when he's sitting the gate of the queers and passed judgment? What would you say about him then? How about the time when he did wrong with his daughters? What would you say then? But yet at the end of his life, God, who by the way, is right. At the end of his life, God looked at Lot and said, looking at your life, I'm going to make a statement, Lot the righteous. But God, how could you do that? How could you call him righteous? Sitting at the gate with a homosexual crowd? How in the world? God, how could you call him righteous when he did that to his own kids? I do know this, that God is God. I know that. I'm afraid that here's what we do. We get all wrapped up in our self-centered, pharisaical thinking. That we are so good and we know so much. May I tell you that Jesus Christ himself hated religion, the wrong type of religion, and the Phariseeism, and that which was the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and a lot of them, where he said, woe unto you, you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites! Wouldn't it be good if we could come down off of our pedestal tonight and just love each other? Well, you know, preacher, they're not there yet. Could you be honest a little bit tonight and maybe confess that neither are you? Well, you know, I saw one of our teen boys and he was doing wrong. Okay. He ought to be crucified upside down like Peter. Put in the dungeon, throw away the key. My God is a God of reconciling. Yeah, I love it. Jesus sat with publicans and sinners. I wonder if he did that just to rub some people the wrong way. Look, I'm for church. I love church. I love the Bible. But I'm telling you, in church, you can get so puffed up. Hey, look, I'm for Bible standards. I'm for right music. I'm for godliness through and through. I'm for the power of God. I'm for the right Bible. I'm for everything that you think is right. I'm for it. But we can get so wrapped up in ourself. And then it becomes a pride type of thing. I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be us caring and helping someone else. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be so highfalutin that somebody can't touch me because they think that I'm a holy man. No, I'm supposed to be a servant. You're supposed to be a servant. Can I tell you, we don't have perfect kids here. We don't have perfect college students here. We don't have perfect parents here. But we've got a perfect God here. As long as we're trying to help people to come close to God, it makes all the difference in the world. Now I'm saying, tonight we understand that there's the gift of the tongue. There's the gift of time. You ready? There's the gift of thoughtfulness. 1 John 3 and in verse 18, the Bible says, but my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now don't forget what the Bible said at the very beginning. The Bible says this. The Bible says that a man's gift maketh room for him and it bringeth him before great men. And don't forget that. You know, when you give somebody a gift, here's what happens. It opens your heart towards them. And the recipient who receives the gift, it opens their heart towards you. That gift goes both ways. I'll give you an example. When you were younger, you loved Christmas time because you wanted to receive. Now that you're older, you love Christmas time because you want to give. Those of us that are older, we have just as much joy in giving as we did years ago in receiving. And so that gift goes both ways. My Bible says, bless those that persecute you. Well, you know, I just feel a complex. Then what you do is you extend a hand and you bless them. You do something for them. There's the gifts of thoughtfulness. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Do something unexpected. Give your wife flowers when it's not her anniversary. Somebody says, move that train down the track. Give somebody a birthday present when it's not their birthday. Take your wife on an unexpected date when there's no occasion to speak of. Make a homemade pie, a homemade cake, clean your room, wash the car, open a door for someone, wait for someone to talk with them before rushing out. Drop a card in the mail. Write somebody a letter. Give somebody a note. Do something that is just out of your nature, just to show thoughtfulness to someone else. Then do something undeserved to people. Well, I'm not going to do something for them because they never did anything for me. Do something undeserved by someone else. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 14, the Bible says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger. So do something to someone that's undeserved. Somebody that's angry at you. They don't deserve a gift in your eyes. But God said, here's what you do. You give a gift in secret, and it pacifieth anger. And a reward in the bosom of strong wrath. So somebody that is in wrath towards you, give them a gift in secret. It will pacify them. You know what that does? It helps them think of the goodness of God. Because if they're a Christian, they know that every good gift cometh down from the Father above. It helps to pacify them. Give a kind note, yet don't sign it. Pay a college student's college bill. That's the same guys that's looking for a wife that can cook. But don't tell them. Just call the financial office and say, hey, look, you got any college students that's behind? Who do you believe that maybe deserves help? Now, don't just give it to somebody you choose, because sometimes appearances is false. So call the administrative office and say, who deserves it? Who's really trying but struggling and not making it? But a gift that pacifieth anger and a reward in the bosom of strong wrath. Listen to it. Romans chapter 12, I'm almost done. In verse 17, the Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Well, preacher, what if somebody's talking bad about me? Don't talk bad about them. You don't talk bad about them. You praise them. You honor them, you love them, but you don't talk bad about them. You don't go around saying, well, oh, let me tell you. No, no, no. Somebody asks you about somebody who's talking bad about you, you say, well, that's a good brother. That's a good brother. Boy, I love him. That's a good sister. Boy, I love her. That's a good person. I care about them. But you don't give evil for evil. The Bible says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Wait, here's what your Bible says. The Bible says in verse 18 of Romans chapter 12, and if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, it says, live peaceably with all men. Now, you may choose to live peaceably with them, and somebody might not choose to live peaceably with you. That's okay. You let them choose their state, but you choose the state that makes you right with God. All right? So you choose to live peaceably with someone else that may not choose. Now, why do you do that? The Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You learn to love people. You learn to reach out to people. Now, what does that mean? Next statement, I'm done. There's the gift of the tongue, gift of time, gift of thoughtfulness, gift of tolerance. Tolerance. What is that? That's just being patient. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says it is the Lord's mercies, and it says that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. So don't let your compassions fail. The Bible says that they're new every morning, and great, it says, is thy faithfulness. So don't let your compassions fail. You be one that will always be compassionate. By the way, listen, try to give everybody that you can a second chance. Now, the Bible says, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth in you, as much as it has received you, live peaceably and give a break and give patience and give grace and help somebody to have a clean slate and be somebody that gives forgiveness over and over and give mercy and be slow to wrath and be somebody that suffers long and be somebody that rises up to try to help when there's an adverse time that they're facing and forget their past failures and past disappointments and past sins and past heartaches and past offenses and forget the problems that they have or the problems that they've caused. You just love them. That's what the Bible talks about. Now, wait a minute. What does that mean? That means that you have tolerance towards your husband. Be patient towards them. They come in, they have a hard day, they're talking about nothing but negative. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient towards your wife, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your friend, your coworker, your boss, another Christian. You know, when you forgive somebody, here's what I learned. I learned this from my grandmother before I was saved. My grandmother had a struggle. And she said, let me tell you what I did. And she sat down, and by the way, never witnessed to me, never told me how to be saved. She was a believer. She was an old-fashioned Methodist. I lived with them for a little while, but even went over to the farm when I was in my preteens to visit often. And she sat one day, and she is very uneasy. You could tell she was uneasy about something. Something had gotten her goat. You could tell something was wrong. And she said, let me tell you about something, Michael, you need to learn. I was about 12 or 13 or so. And she sat down, and she was good about this. She was so good about this. You know, she was in her 70s then. And she sat down, and she said, let me tell you something, Michael, you need to learn. And she'd talk about forgiveness. She would talk about helping people. She's just a kind lady. And she would talk about how you could take and extend a hand to a neighbor. She had a neighbor. And he was kind of sneaking. He would come over and he would steal stuff out of the barn. He's kind of sneaking. She knew it too. So you know what she did? She always set stuff in the lip of the barn that she wanted him to steal. And made it easy for him to steal. I said, Ma, why are you doing that? Well, because the good stuff is in the back. And he's having a hard time. And she said, I'd rather love him on purpose than for him to take advantage of me on purpose. And she gave. May I say it's very important that you go through life just giving and don't expect anything in return. Years ago, I had a little brother, and I still do. You remember we bought Joey a car? Remember that Joe car? Joe listens to our podcast. And we gave Joe, I call him Joey. He doesn't like that. He won't. He'll turn me off now. But Joe needed a car. And he said, Mike, he said, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back. At first, I entertained that thought. I thought, nah, that's good. You know, if I get your car, buy you a car, you ought to pay me back. I mean, it's right. My hard-earned money, it's only right. Then Mrs. Wells and I got to thinking. Sylvie and I were sitting in the living room area one day, and we got thinking about that. We thought, you know, we thought it all the way through. What if he never does pay it back? How would that affect our relationship? What would that do inside of our hearts every time we saw him? So I told Joe, I said, Joe, we don't want any money for that. That's just a gift. You know, we never gave it a chance to hurt a relationship. Hello? You know, it is very important that we use the gifts that God has given us. Can I tell you what you ought to do? You ought to take that son of yours or that daughter of yours. You ought to take that wife of yours. You ought to take that husband of yours and just arrange a little bit of time, just you alone. You alone. Now, after the Baptist Leadership Conference, please. But you alone, where you can sit down and talk. Yeah, the best thing I ever did in my life, Miss Wells, come here. Best thing I ever did in my life was that when we lived down in Ocean Springs, they had that big bridge. You remember that? Oh, my wife always likes to walk. She's much more healthier than I am, and I admit it. I bought her one of those, what's that thing called? Elliptical steppers. And she'll get on it and she'll step. I mean, she's going to live to be 104. You know, we'll be in our 80s, Brother Bulkley. Both have false teeth. Yeah, yeah. We'll gum each other to death. But I remember us taking walks. We walk across that long bridge over to Biloxi. Biloxi is where they have all the casinos. Say, why'd you go there? Because my wife always likes to gamble at night. You don't get seen as much. I'd wait outside and pray. Pass out tracts. She'd be inside gambling. True story. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, come here. Come here. But we'd hold hands, go walking across that Biloxi Bridge. And we'd talk a little bit. Then it got hard because if you've ever been across the bridge, it's an incline. Kind of goes up to heaven. Starts to come incline. So we'd stop holding hands. And then we just walk, and after a while, we weren't able to talk. It's called breathing time. So we'd be panting as we're, so how are you doing? She'd say, oh, I'm doing fine. I said, good, you know, and we'd be walking along. But those times when we were on this walk, you remember the trail crossing the church? We lived at the church. We lived on church property. Our pastor had a place for us there. So we lived on church property. Every evangelist's dream. No rent. No light bill. I mean, just, you know, every evangelist's dream. Lived on church property, lived there for years. They had a walking track across the highway. And we'd go over there, Mrs. Smell, we'd meet over there in the morning time. And we'd walk around the walking track together. You know what we do? We just talk. We philosophize. You say, well, man, she ought to know all your philosophy. She's married to you. No, we philosophize. We say, you know, one of our children's going through this, and we need to help them. What do you think I ought to do? Well, what do you think we should do? Well, you know, we got this meeting and it's planned, and we're going to leave, and we're going to go up there. You know, one of our kids did this. My, what a blessing it was, and that was so neat. And, man, what did you think about that? Did you ever think that they would do that? That was so neat. That was so, wasn't that so thoughtful? We talk about all sorts of things, you know, and we philosophize along the way, and we talk about fundamentalism and what's wrong with it and how to correct it and how she was going to preach one day. But we just spend time together. We just spend time together. And we just enjoyed that. And by the way, you need that. You need that. And I've always been very careful with her. I'd say, okay, here's what I'm thinking about doing. What do you think about it? What do you think about it? What's your thoughts? Amen. Hey, here's something going on in her life. Here's something you and I need to pray about. Amen. We need to just covet it in prayer. By the way, a lot of marriages don't have that anymore. They just don't have that anymore. You know, I think what happens is we get so busy in the work of the Lord that we forget each other. Amen. A lot of men, you go to hold your hand, the hand of your wife, and she'll look down just to make sure it's yours. Because she hadn't felt it for so long, she's wondering what's going on. Hello? You know, you never give sugar. You never do. That's a kiss, by the way. You're welcome. Weslowski didn't know that. He's from another country. But you never give sugar. You never do stuff like that. Never write each other notes. Hey, where'd it go? I'm telling you, where'd it go? Some of you men are so hard. Your wife comes home, or you come home. Your wife comes home. You come home from work, and your wife is decked out in some real nice-looking outfit. First time she's fixed her hair in months. She stands there at the door. Hi, honey. How was your day? She has put on so much lipstick, her lips are now swollen. And she begins to pucker. And you say, wow, what hit you in the lips today? It's kind of big. And you just walk by. That's not the way to grow a marriage. That is not the way to grow a marriage. Brother Romery, many of you know Brother Romery, Indiana. Many of you that have come to me with extreme health problems, I say, look, you need to call Brother Romery. Brother Romery's a great guy. He knows medicine inside and out. He knows herbs upside and down. I mean, he's a great guy. He's helped many people that the doctors have given up on. Just a super, super guy. Great Bible instructor and counselor, one of my dear friends. I was preaching in Roanoke, Indiana. Never will forget it. I'm done. Brother Romery said this. I was preaching on the family that week. You remember that? Oh, I couldn't forget it. Preaching on the family that week. And a church member came to me, Romery. And he said, you need to do something. He said, you need to go home, hold your wife's hand, look at her in the eyes, and say, have I ever offended you? I said, Brother Romery, that's crazy. You know, my wife, I've never offended my wife. That's crazy. You need to stay out of my preaching. He said, no, I'm serious. Mike, you need to go home, hold your wife's hands, look at her in her eyeballs, and say, have I ever offended you? I said, no big deal. Now I went home, said, honey, I want you to sit. I set her in a chair right there. I sat right here. I held her hand. I looked in her eyes. Brother Palmore, I said to my wife, have I ever offended you? She started crying. I thought, what? What is this about? And she said, do you really mean that? And I said, no. I said, well, of course I meant it, honey. I love you. She said, oh, Michael, you've really hurt me over the years. I'm thinking. I'm preaching a marriage conference telling everybody else how to do it. And I'm not even right with my own wife. And I said, okay, what have I done wrong? Oh, you guys have been there too, huh? You're confessing, aren't you? Yeah, yeah, got your hand up. Me too, me too. I didn't know you offended my wife. Man, she started listing all these things, Brother Butler. I didn't know that one man could commit so many wrongs. All against one woman. And I thought she had nine lives. Time I got nine. And so, anyway, so, man, we got things right with each other. Hello? Now we keep a short list. Short list. Look, can I tell you, I want to help you tonight. Let me tell you the people that become busybodies. Normally are those that don't have their own house in order. So they've got to look for trouble because they're not satisfied with things at home. Make sure you take care of things with your wife. Take care of things with your husband. Take care of things with your children. I asked a guy, I said, how's it going? He said, Mama's not happy. I said, really? He's talking about his wife. Mama's not happy. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, haven't you learned yet, preacher? If Mama ain't happy, nobody's. Yeah, you know your Bible. It's true. I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. You know, the woman, the man is the head of the home. Hey, believe that? I'm almost done. How many believe? Man is the head of the home. Good. The woman is the Holy Spirit of the home. Yeah. When her spirit is not right, hello, it can turn the head. It can turn the head. You know why most families leave the church? Woman. 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 You know why most homes are miserable? Woman. Woman. Adam said, it's the woman that thou gavest me. So what you've got to work at as a lady, keep your spirit right. Keep your spirit right. Don't become critical. Keep your spirit right. By the way, watch this. We get in a fight, Brother Crutcher, new member. He comes up. We have a brawl, he and I. Ready? Man, I hit him. He hits me. I hit him. He hits me. I knock out his tooth. He knocks out my eye. I look at him when we get done, and I say, man, that was fun. Let's do it again next week. I got one eye left. Watch it. Two women exchange words, and they don't make it right for years. Where'd you get all those marks? It was my wife. Now, it's bad when a man gets female hormones. Hush, 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 hush. They don't know what to do. Now, I'm saying, look, you have some gifts. You have some gifts. Thank you. Use the gifts that God has given you. Now, I'm going to close. Here we go. Most churches will only be as strong as the families that attend them. When you get mad because I get on to your kid, when your kid is misbehaving and you take the side of the kid rather than truth, you're itching for trouble. Most churches are only as strong as the families that attend them. When all of a sudden you have a member that gets odds with the pastor and you take the member side against the pastor, you're looking for trouble. When all of a sudden you get in these little gossip cliques, and you decide that you're going to tear apart the work of God, you're destroying the work of God. There's no power in that. There's no wisdom in that. There's no help in that. You're discrediting everything that Jesus Christ has ever done here under your former pastor, this pastor, and any pastor that will ever hit that pulpit. You want to smack Brother May in the face? You keep it up. And you're smacking everything he's ever done. You don't believe in him. You're spitting on him. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you be one that uses the gifts that God has given you to be able to go forward, to help people become more like Christ. You can do that, but you have to rise up and embrace those gifts.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.